You have your Bibles with you today. We're in a very familiar story, a parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. If you don't have your Bibles, there's probably a pew Bible in front of you. This is a place you'd have permission to pull out your cell phone or your tablet if you'd like to do that. I'll say again, I think it's a good idea to bring your Bible to church to make notes in it. For me, it's a workbook. I have in my Bible underlines and a lot of places and actually passages where I have preached this scripture and other churches at other times and dates, so I don't keep preaching the same message over and over again. So today we want to look at this story in Luke chapter 15. Let me give you a little bit of context. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Luke 9:51 says that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. That means he's bound and determined to go to Jerusalem. While he's on his way there, he talks about what discipleship is all about. And so while he is on his way there one day, he hears the grumblings of Pharisees and scribes. And so that's the context for our passage. We'll look at the first three verses, and then we'll skip down to the second part of verse 11 and finish out the chapter. And so now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had, and he traveled to a distant country. Sometimes we call that the far country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything that he had, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. Now, he would have gladly filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating. Man, you got to be hungry there, right? And no one gave him anything. Now, my version of the Bible says, but when he came to himself, I love the version that says better, when he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, and here I am dying of hunger? I will get up and I will go to my father, and I will say to my father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and he went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and he put his arms around him and he kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found,' and they began to celebrate. Now, his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Well, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has gotten him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. So his father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had
to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and he's been found. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, what a story that you told. It's a powerful story. It's a troubling story. It's a grace-filled story. And it makes you wonder, where am I in this story? I simply ask, Lord, today, as we preach, that you be with this pastor. And may these words be your words. May they offer hope and healing. May they challenge us. And may they comfort us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the things that I love about Jesus' teaching style is that he told stories. I love that. I said last week in our sermon together that Jesus was a master storyteller. He told stories. We call them parables. They're more than stories. Really, they are an earthly story that have a spiritual truth wrapped in them, and they make you think and live out your week thinking about the stories that Jesus told. I love that Jesus tells stories in sermons. I like to tell stories in sermons. In fact, I've learned, choir, that the sermon doesn't live as long as the story that was in the sermon. Am I making sense there? The story lives longer. Like someone will say to me, John, I love that story that you told in the sermon. You know, the story about whatever it was. And I said, yeah, thanks. I'm always grateful. Are y'all with me? If a sermon itself lives past lunchtime, I am. Jesus knew there was power in storytelling, so he used parables. He used that as one way that he taught people. He used those stories, and he told stories about things like this, seeds and weeds and bread and treasures found in fields and widows and Samaritans that we call good, wedding feasts, things that were lost like sheep and coins and children. And on his way to Jerusalem one day, he heard the grumblings of the Pharisees and the scribes. They opposed Jesus at every turn, nearly. And what he overheard was, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. And when he overheard that, Jesus says, well, let me tell you three stories. Back to back to back stories about things that were lost. A sheep, a coin, and a couple of boys. Now I want to say something here. When I was in college, long time ago, one of my favorite professors, Charles Mayo, asked me one day, actually we're out almost to the football field where the Lambeth Eagles were about to play, and he says, John, what's your favorite gospel? Well, that's a strange question at a strange time. I said, well, Luke, I like Luke. He says, what do you like about Luke? I said, I like the orderly account. I like stories that Jesus came for everybody. I love that. He says, what's your favorite chapter? And I thought, well, I should have said chapter 2, right? I mean, that's where Jesus is born. You know, angels watching the fields over their flocks by night, all that, right? Or I should have said chapter 24. That's where the resurrection of Jesus is. I said, I like chapter 15. He says, why chapter 15? I says, I love these stories that Jesus tells about lost things. The third of those three stories is about a father who had two sons, and one we have come to call the prodigal son, but it's a story much more than a story about that younger boy. To get the story's full effect, I think we need to look at the other two stories that come right before it as well. I'll move quickly through them. The first is about a shepherd who had 99 safe and sound sheep. And the Bible says that they were in the wilderness. Not in a pen, not in a pasture, but out there in the wilderness. And Jesus asks, which of you shepherds in the crowd today would leave the 99 safe and sound sheep and go after the one who wandered away. You know the hymn, Terry. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I won't sing often in sermons, but every once in a while I will, right? Jesus is not just a shepherd. Are y'all with me? He's the good shepherd. He's not comfortable with the one who has wandered away. And so he goes and he finds him. He hoists him up on his shoulders and he brings him home. And he calls all his shepherd friends and says, "Hey, I found that wandering sheep. Let's have a party." Right? That's the first story. The second story is about a woman who lost a coin in her house. And friends, may I ask you, have you ever lost anything in your house or in your car? Has that ever been your experience? Have you ever done that? Has it ever happened in such a way that you wanted to find that, and so you pulled up the carpet, right? You moved furniture, you swept the house, you tore up the place looking for it. You put your arm down in the cushions of the couch looking for whatever it was that you've lost. Have any of you ever had a minivan with kids? You ever lost anything in a minivan with kids? Or an SUV, nowadays you reach down deep and you find a chicken nugget that is at least 10 years old. But let's say you do that, you've lost something, and you suddenly find it. And there it is. That's the experience of the woman in our story. She searches and searches. She's lost a coin. It's one of 10. It's probably part of her dowry. And suddenly, she pulls the furniture out, she sweeps the floor, and then there it is. The light hits it, and she finds it, and she calls all her friends and neighbors and says, "I lost a coin, but I found it. Let's have a party." Anyone in the crowd that day who had lost anything would have said, "I know that experience." She probably spent as much on the party as the worth of the coin. That's the second story. Here's the third. Let's take a closer look. There was a man who had two sons. The younger we have come to call the prodigal. I looked it up, and Leah is right about that. The definition is simply something that is wastefully extravagant. Wastefully extravagant. That's what prodigal means. Hold on to that description. He goes to his dad and says to his dad, "Dad, I wish you were dead, but since you're not, I want you to give me my share of the inheritance right here, right now. I'm off to the far country." My dad is deceased, but I can imagine going to my dad when he was alive and saying, "Dad, I want my share of the inheritance." He would have laughed at me. This father listened to his son. He knew that his son was tired of the rules and the regulations. Have any of you ever said to a child, or have you heard it yourself, "As long as you live under my roof, you'll follow my rules"? Anybody ever say that or hear that? Sure. His response was, "I don't have to live here anymore." And so he asked for his share of the inheritance. Now, here's something the father knew. The father knew, with or without the money or with or without the blessing, he was gone. He was leaving. He was tired of home. And so he gave him the money, and I believe he gave him the blessing. And the Bible says that he went to the far country. He squandered his inheritance in desolate living. Again, prodigal means extravagant wastefulness. When he ran out of money, guess what else he ran out of? Friends. There was a perfect storm brewing. It had two elements. The first element was that he no longer had any money. The second was there was a famine in that land. The Bible says he began to be in want, right? And so he tried to find a job, and he was hired out to feed the pigs. Now, I know pigs need feeding. I mean, I know. And there are people, maybe you have pigs. I don't know. But that's not a job I'd want to do, to feed them, would you? And then what gets here is that he looks down one day, that prodigal, and he thinks, that looks good. That looks good. And that's when the Bible says that he came to his senses. He came to himself. And he thought to himself, my dad has hired hands who have it better than me. And so he practiced his ask. And as he started on the long journey home, he says, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired hands. He practiced that ask all the way home. Now I want you to see that every morning, his dad was on the front porch with his cup of coffee, drinking his cup of coffee, looking towards the far country, the path. And every evening, just before the sun went down, he went back out there, scanning the horizon, looking for his son. Can you imagine? Looking for his son. One day he saw him. The father could hardly believe his eyes. The Bible says that the father ran towards his son. Friends, this would not have been pretty. He would have been in a robe and sandals, and he ran towards his son. Can you imagine that scene? He ran on his way to embrace him, and he ran on his way to restore him. He said, quickly, servants, bring me a robe to put around his body. Give me the family ring to put back on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate. Are y'all out there today? I mean, this is the third time in three stories where there is a great celebration about to be happening, right? We had to celebrate. And now I wish that I could say the story ended there. Amen. See you next Sunday. The man had two sons. Two sons, right? One we call a prodigal. Might we other call the other one a Pharisee? Maybe? I don't know. One son had been lost in the far country. The other one was lost on the family land. He was out in the field working when he heard the sounds of the celebration, the music and the dancing. And he asked one of the servants, what's the hubbub about? What's going on? He says, oh, your brother's home. Your dad's killed the fatted calf. They're celebrating inside. You should come in. But the elder brother is mad as he can be. Can you blame him? It's not fair, really. I mean, he's a rule follower. May I ask this morning, are there any rule followers out there? Yeah, I am. He never did less than was expected of him, and often he did more than was expected to him. I mean, that's who he was. And he's out there on the back porch. He won't go inside. So his father comes out to him. Now I want to draw your attention to the language. Listen. The son says to his father, but when this son of yours comes home, you throw him a party. When this son of yours comes home. He doesn't say, when my brother comes home, you throw him a party. But this son of yours comes home. The father loves both his boys. I think he wants them to love each other too. They are, after all, brothers. So he says, son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. But notice the language. He says, but this brother of yours, you see the difference? This brother of yours has come back to life. He was lost, and he's been found. Now, the Bible doesn't record this, but I like to think that Jesus turned to the scribes and the Pharisees in the crowd that day and said, this is why I eat with tax collectors and sinners. Now, let me ask you, who do you relate to the most in this story? Maybe you're like that dad
He loves them both. He wants them to love each other, but more than that, he wants both of his boys safe and sound. Amen? Amen. Maybe you're like that dad. Or maybe you're like the prodigal. You ever been in a far country? You ever had that experience? Have you ever been wastefully extravagant? Have you ever come to your senses? Maybe you're in a far country right now. I don't know. Perhaps you have a job that feels like feeding pigs. It's just a job. Maybe you haven't come to your senses yet. Maybe you realize, today you realize, that being at home is not as bad as it's all made up to be. I have learned since my youngest daughter went to college that I'm smarter than I used to be. Every year I get a little smarter. It's amazing. Maybe you can relate to the prodigal because you've been him, or maybe you are him. What about the older brothers here today? Is it more about your birth order or your attitude, your mindset? Maybe you've got some Pharisee in you, and I understand that. And it's hard to celebrate the sons and the daughters who have squandered things, maybe even their whole lives. And yet, they come home to dad. It begs the question of us all. Here's the question. Choir, are you listening to the question? What do you do with lost people? What do you do with prodigals? Do you look for them? Do you search for them? Do you run out to meet them? Do you hope that the relationship with God is restored as soon, as quickly possible? And when you do you celebrate along with them? Do you hug them? Do you welcome them home? I want you to notice something about this story. Luke ends it without telling us what the older brother did. Did you notice that? Luke leaves him out there on the back porch. He doesn't tell us if he went in to celebrate. He doesn't tell us anything else. We don't know the end of the story. We don't know if the prodigal went out to the far country a second time. We don't know. But what I do know is this. He leaves him on the porch for a reason. So that you will make a decision today. And here's the decision you need to make. What would you do? What would you do? And a more important question for me this morning as a church, what would we do? I hope we would go in and celebrate and be a part of the party. Thanks be to God. Amen.